In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Dear saints, our text for the sermon is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, your epistle that you have in your bulletins, especially verse 13. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Dear saints, God is faithful. In the midst of your unfaithfulness to him and your broken bargaining promises, what a glorious promise that God is faithful to you. God is faithful. In the midst of so many promises that have been made to you and yet broken, what a foundation to stand on when all other ground is sinking sand. Dear saints, God is faithful. When the country is at unrest and angry at each other, when fear reigns, fear of other people, fear for yourself and your children, when you're not sure who or what to trust, when your emotions are constantly playing games within you, when guilt and burdens weigh you down so heavy, anger incites judgment and lashing out, and worry becomes a constant nag in your life, and death steals away those that you love from you, God is faithful. What a fantastic and glorious promise at all times. But it is specifically in the context of temptation that the Holy Spirit gives us this promise, and for that, it is the specifically wonderful promise becomes an even higher treasure. Here again, this time a little before the God is faithful. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That you can endure it. Enduring. That is a constant key for many of the Bible's exhortations to endure. Your life of faith is not a sprint. It is a marathon. And it is a marathon in which Satan comes to tempt you not just once and not just twice. And he doesn't come just to tempt you in this way or in that way. He comes to tempt you over and over and over again. And he comes at you in so many different directions and so many different angles. When things are going well, he'll tempt you to think you're awesome. When things are going awful, he'll tempt you to despair and to think that God doesn't even exist or that he's angry at you or that he hates you. Life is a marathon. And in this marathon, suffering shows its face in so many different ways, with a broken heart there, or with financial troubles here, or with death and health problems here. In this marathon, the suffering and the temptations come at you, and you are different. You are a little different than you were last year. You're a little different than you were 70 years ago or 40 years ago or 10 years ago. And you'll be a little bit different next week than you were today. And so the temptations come at you a little bit differently in this marathon. So we have to endure. But we don't do it alone. But enduring is a big key for the Christian faith. Here are a couple of passages. This one's from Matthew chapter 24. Just listen. It's not anywhere on your texts. But just listen to the onslaught. The onslaught of things that come the Christian's way. The onslaught of things that come from outside and that come from within the Christian church. Jesus says, "They will deliver you up for tribulation, and they will put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will come and fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And then many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness, because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." There's the onslaught. And then you have a bit of an onslaught from God himself, that he disciplines you. And discipline hurts. Hebrews chapter 12. "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as children. And what children is there whom the Father does not discipline?" And then you have the onslaught of death. And this glorious promise. "The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him." 2 Timothy chapter 2. If we have died with him. It's in the past. Every single one of you here has already died. And when your body is put into the grave, that is the completion of that death that began when you were baptized. And when you were baptized, that was the sting of death being taken away. Because death does not mean eternal separation from you and God. It actually means the way that your Father brings you to himself to be with you forever. And he has done it for many of your loved ones, and he promises that he will do it for you. If we have died with him, it is in the past. Death's sting is taken away because you already died in your baptism, and you die every day. You say, "I'm sorry for my sins, dear Jesus, help me and forgive me." If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Our sermon text, "God is Faithful," it is taken in the context of a warning. Verse 12, "Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall." No one stands on their own. No one. No matter how powerful, no matter how strong, no matter how rich, no matter how many things are going for you, no one stands on their own. But there is the temptation to think that you stand on your own. "Therefore, lest anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is just given this marvelous, fantastic warning that's quite hard for us to hear. He's being quite ruthless on us. He's being quite ruthless on the church in Corinth. He gives a history of the people of Israel in which the pattern goes something like this. And see if the pattern becomes something familiar for you in your spiritual life. The pattern went like this. God was faithful. God redeemed them. God rescued them. God provided for them. God gave them his word to guide them. And he gave them pastors to teach them. They were baptized and they were fed. God was faithful. Over and over and over again, through the plagues, through the signs, through the cloud, God was faithful, and yet many still fell into temptation. And some of them fell so many times at temptation without repenting, without being sorry for it, without going to the one that can pick them up to help them stand. Many of them fell into temptation so many times that many of them also fell into unbelief and final condemnation. Some fell into sexual immorality, verse 8. Some put Christ to the test, verse 9. Sure, you have provided for me thus far, but I'm not sure you're going to do it tomorrow. And for a while, we were doing a stewardship campaign in which the Lord's word was brought to our hearts so that we might be aware of how we are to use the resources that we have. Our gospel lesson was all about how we are managers. We are stewards, that you and I don't own anything in which we have been given, but that we are to manage them. We are to be stewards. So as you sit there, and when you write your check for your tithe, if the temptation comes to think, if I write 10% of my income or more, God will not provide for me. Know where the temptation comes from. It comes outside of God's promises. It comes from outside, from your past experience of this life of faith. God was faithful then. Will he be tomorrow? And in fact, there becomes the temptation to think that maybe it wasn't God who provided for me in the first place. Maybe it was my work. Maybe it was my money. Maybe it was my selfishness. For the context in which we have of this 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is Paul using the Old Testament Israelites. And God had delivered them. God had provided for them. God was faithful. God had sent them the plagues out of Egypt so that they could be delivered. God provided them through the wilderness. God went through the Red Sea. He led them. He led them through so many things. And then he calls Moses up to the mountain for 40 days. And in the midst of those 40 days, after everything that God had done for them, they thought that God had just disappeared with Moses. And so they convinced Aaron to fashion a god for themselves. And Aaron gave in. They questioned, is the Lord among us or not? And Aaron gave in to the pressure, and he took all the gold, and he fashioned for them a calf, and he pointed right at the calf, and he said, behold, your God, who has brought you thus far. Who, dear saints, has brought you thus far? Who is it that has forgiven you all of your sins, relieved your guilt, constantly and consistently unburdened your weary heart and your weary soul, and provided for all that you need of your body and in your life? We too often put Christ to the test. Our grumbling and our lack of thanksgiving should lead us to hear this warning with full and complete clarity. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stand, take heed, lest he fall. The scriptural call to endure is a call to be over and over and over again trusting and believing that God is faithful, especially when we are tempted to doubt and despair. Attempted, and especially when we are tempted to give in to our anger and our lust and our lack of contentment or whatever else constantly attacks you, that attacked you this past week, that will attack you tomorrow. To hear this glorious promise with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. The way of escape. It probably will not be the way that you would choose. God so often refines us through suffering, not around suffering. It is so often how he forms his children. But I hope that as you have been hearing this, you have been hearing that there has been emphasis placed from your pastor on the word, the way of escape. And I hope that you're hearing this now. Your Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do know him. And you have seen him. Dear tempted ones, dear overtaken ones, dear having a hard time enduring ones, you know the Father and you have seen him. You know God is faithful, that Jesus has redeemed you, that Jesus gives you his word, that Jesus feeds you today while you are on the way because you have not quite made it, but you will faint if you don't eat. You know that Jesus has baptized you so that you might know that you are united to him. That when you fall, you know you are united to the one who stands. That when your strength fails, you are reminded that you are united to the God whose patience and help and assistance is always overflowing. That Christ has prepared a place for you and he goes with you while you are on the way. And that the temptation that will come tomorrow will probably be a little bit different than the temptation that overcame you yesterday. But it might not. But the God who provides the way of escape is always the same. He is the God who gave up his son for you. He is present among you right now. He is your helper. He is your upholder. And so, dear saints, while the country experiences change, while you and your life and your family experience change, while your heart and your emotions constantly experience change, God is faithful. And that doesn't change. God, help us endure, giving us the way of escape. In Jesus' name, amen.